Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you, I'm talking to you, would like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. But if not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Oh, you know, and hey, while you're at it, get on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays. So if you didn't get over there to see yesterday's blog, swing on over there, check it out. Of course, let Dan know what you think. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. And you know the deal. You went all the way over there. Go ahead and like it. I mean, why waste your time clicking the link if you don't want to like it? You know, anything else you need or whatever else is going on, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are both on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man, the Doghouse.
You should change that while you're thinking about it. Now, Dan, I saved this just so we get started because I knew you would get a kick out of it. I actually had a Dan the Man moment on Twitter last night, kind of inadvertently. You know, MLB is starting to send out these things where they're like, well, you know, who do you think should win this award or that award or whatever? And I just happened to see the one for NL Cy Young. And it was like, if their choices were Jacob deGrom, Trevor Bauer, or Yu Darvish. I thought, well, you know, normally I don't reply to the big one because, you know, there's 15 million replies. And, you know, in reality, MLB doesn't care what I think. But I'm like, okay, I'm going to answer this one. And I, you know, I put in, I would go with Yu Darvish. Because while all their stats are very similar, he's the only one pitching for a contender. Well, you know, at first, everything started out fine. I got, I think, about 15 likes right off the bat, and then the Mets and the Reds fans saw it. And it all came crashing down. I had a guy tell me that I was wrong because they were comparing – because – Darvish had the worst WAR, and as it turns out, his WAR was two worse than Bauer and DeGrom. And when you work with WAR, there's a 1.0 to a 0.2, you know, curve for error. So basically, they're even. And luckily, somebody else pointed that out for me, so I didn't have to defend myself against that guy. But then the Reds moved into second place by 1 percentage point yesterday, Dan. And boy, did I – well, what do you mean the Reds are in second place? They're going to the playoffs. Like, dude, they're 25 and 26. I wouldn't call them a contender. So, yeah, I was getting a pretty good chuckle out of that. And the worst part about it was it ended up taking up the majority of my night. And I was like, good Lord, can't you people go watch a game or something? But, yeah, so that was my evening last night. How about yours?
Well, you know, my dad let me know that Comcast finally letting you stream. So I finally got to watch the Cubs game, but then my daughter overrode that somewhere along the line. But, you know, I mean, it was a tie game, but then I just simply went and got my iPad and set that up as well. So, you know, I mean, so what was the conversation? I mean, did it go back and were you going back and forth a lot with a couple people? Or, I mean, did you just find a column like more doesn't count?
Yeah, well, actually, I didn't have to because that other guy jumped right in and saved me. And then a lot of people started jumping on him about using WAR as a way to compare these guys. So I was out of it there. The guy I ended up going back and forth with was the first guy. What do you mean the Reds are in second place? They're going to the playoffs. You know, and I was like, dude, they're 25 and 26. I wouldn't call them a contender. You know, and then later on as it kept going, I'm like, you realize they're one, they're .001 percentage point ahead of the Cardinals right now. You know, well, they're going to the playoffs. I'm like, well, you know, you realize the Cardinals aren't going to play 60 games. So it's going to be based on percentage. Well, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, Trevor Bauer should win it, you know, because no Cincinnati pitcher has ever won the Cy Young. Well, that's a good reason to give it to him. And then after that, after I got sarcastic with him, he stopped replying to me.
Well, I mean, I didn't know that was a requirement. You know, I didn't know that's how they voted.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was thinking. You know, I was just kind of like, well, this team's never had a winner, so let's give it to them. Oh, okay, that's a good way to
vote.
Then, I would go that. So.
Well, you know, I mean, with that mentality, then, you know, I mean, the Giants should have never won. Or, you know, the Phillies, the Giants, and I think it was the Cardinals should not have won the World Series.
Right.
Well, you know, they could have, but one of them should not have won it because, you know, Texas has never won one, so they should have gotten it.
Yeah, you know, that would be, you know, the mentality there would be, well, if this team hasn't won one, they should get it. So, yeah, but I was like, God, now I know how Dan felt like when he was dealing with the Indian fans. I was like, oh, crap. Like that. I mean, it was exhausting. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
No, not again. What now? So.
I mean, you should have seen that, though. I mean, at least you had people on your side, you know.
Yeah.
I had nobody on my side, and I had what seemed like the entire city of Cleveland just going after me. You know what's funny, though, about that is, I mean, it's like that with, I think, everything with social media. You know, I mean, fortunately for the Indians, they had a great media person, you know, social media person working. So, I mean, because we were just going back with GIFs or whatever. You know, just stupid things, just kind of cracking jokes. And, you know, and then for me, what really set it off and what got people so upset was all because I posted a picture of Dennis Quaid. Was it Dennis Quaid? From Major League? Is that who the actor was?
Which, oh, in the stands?
Indian.
Yeah. No, it's
yeah.
Randy Quaid.
Randy Quaid, there we go. So, you know, all I did was post a picture of that, and, you know, I tagged Chris Rose and the Indians, and I'm like, this is what you guys are going to be again this year, you know. I'm like, this is what the Indians fans have to look forward to, you know, something like that, something just silly. I wasn't, like, you know, attacking the team or the fan, you know, anything. And all of a sudden, you know, Cleveland responded to me, you know, with another picture or gift or something. And then it seemed like the whole city of Cleveland jumped on and the greatest fan base in the world and blah, blah. I'm like, shit, calm down. I didn't say that. But, you know, of course, being me, I had to just keep playing with it and giving all those people crap. So that was fun.
Yeah, you know, and you know, that's what, you know, I mean, to me, you know, I'm wondering how these people are taking it because I'm just laughing, you know, the whole time I'm looking at this going, oh, boy, what did we come up with this time? You know, and I can't remember, somebody else pointed out, well, you know, if DeGrom has one more good start, you know, he'll win it again. This will be his third in a row. And I'm like, you know, so my question to him, and again, he didn't answer me, I said, well, isn't he having hamstring issues, and do you really want the Mets to risk him? And I, you know, I never heard back from him. So what I actually kind of realized is if you use logic and you ask them questions, they leave you alone. So.
Oh yeah.
You know, and I mean, nothing against any people on there. I'm sure they're all nice people, but the people I was going back with, back and forth with, Dan, I can guarantee you I was the smartest one out of all of them.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, I mean, if you use, like you said, logic, or you use their logic, oh, that gets them even more riled up. You know, I remember kind of, and this is a little off topic, but getting into an argument, not an argument, but just, you know, because I don't call it an argument. I'm calm. I'm collected. I'm just going back and forth being a jackass. and this lady, it's the best thing. And I love these. I love these. Oh, and this is my town, right? The town I live in. Oh, the crime rate surged, one, you know, all because Walmart, you know. So, like, the Taco Bell, a couple blocks away from Walmart, was robbed because of Walmart. You know, that was basically what she was implying. And I you know, I just simply responded. I go, so you're, you know, I just kept going on with it. She's like, you need to Google, you know, tell me to Google up stats and, you know, crime stats and everything. So I told her, I'm like, well, you know, you're the one who needs to prove it. So you Google it. I'm not Googling anything. I go, because I just know logically thinking that's a horseshit, you know, that doesn't make any sense. But, yes, of course crime's going to go up a little bit at Walmart because people get caught stealing there. You know, that's stupid. It doesn't mean people are going to start robbing houses and jacking cars because Walmart came to town. You idiot. So then she, you know, finally posts her proof. And I'm like, did you actually read the article? I'm like, this is an article from 15 years ago written in England. What the hell do they know about America? You know, so then that just infuriated her even more. And, you know, and I just kept digging, you know, using her logic, you know, and, you know, finally I ended it with, I'm like, well, you know, if that's the case, well, you know, and it's funny because then someone found out, they're like, you don't even live here, you know, so that was the best part about it. Like, you don't even live here.
So, yeah, but, well, you know, then I was excited because that was really kind of my first Twitter beef that I've had. So, you know, since I, you know, we've been on there quite a while now. So that was my first one. So I was excited about that. And, I'm looking forward to the next one. I hope they post some more, you know, things I can comment on and get myself in trouble for. So we'll see.
Well, you know, I told you, it's, you just have to jump on, you know, whatever hashtag is available, or, you know, kind of trending at the moment, and you get in, or even, you know, a Major League Baseball post, that could happen.
So, yeah, but all right. Well, here you go, Dan. We had an afternoon game in town. And, you know, I thought the White Sox were in trouble. You know, they were down, I think it was 3-2, and they left the bases loaded in the bottom of the sixth. And I thought, okay, well, you know, that was their shot. They're not going to be able to manage to come back and get a win today. And, fortunately for me, I was wrong and I missed it because I had to get my dinner out of the oven. But in the bottom of the seventh, they managed to score two runs. You know, one was on and Jose Abreu, kind of a odd infield single, but the next one was a Eloy Jimenez double to left. So they take 3 out of 4 from the Twins. And, you know, your guy, Ronaldo Lopez, got the start. He didn't get the win. You know, he didn't pitch badly. You know, he gave him 5 1/3. He gave up 4 hits. The problem was 3 of those 4 hits were solo home runs. But he did strike out 6 and only walk 1. So that's a really good sign for him. That means he had his control. But, yeah, you know, I mean, this was, you know, what I thought was a big series for the White Sox. And, you know, they've had some issues with the Twins, but they took 3 out of 4. So, you know, I think I'm kind of believing now that they may have a shot to contend, you know, especially if they can get Dallas Keuchel back and healthy. You know, that may be a big deal. You know, and if Lopez is going to give them quality innings, that's a huge, you know, a huge thing for them, even if it's out of the bullpen. You know, if he could come in relief and pitch, you know, 2, 3, even 4 innings if needed, that could be huge. So I don't know. You know, am I am I overstepping, or are you kind of on the possibilities here?
Maybe you're overstepping a little bit, but what makes you so concerned? Like, what do you see that changes things?
You know, my biggest concern with them is with Keuchel out, really the only guy you look at in their rotation and go, oh, yeah, that guy can go out and win a game at any time is Giolito. You know, mm-hmm. I know, like, Dylan Cease has had his moments, and actually Dane Dunning has been really good. But, you know, you're talking about two young guys who have never been through, you know, what a postseason is going to be. You know, I know they have Gio Gonzalez hanging around, but I don't really trust, you know, I'm not really trusting him as a starter. And, you know, but if Keuchel comes back and you've got Giolito, Keuchel, and then kind of a, you know, maybe almost a mashup of those guys, be it Cease, Dunning, or Lopez, you know, I think they could do enough to get by and kind of hang around. But, I how it is. I mean, we're looking at a really young team here. I mean, as good as Tim Anderson is, he's really young. You know, obviously Jimenez, Moncada, Roberts, Mandragol, you know, they're either rookies or second-year guys. And I guess in a way maybe that could be good because they would just be dumb enough to not know what's going on. But, you know, as the pressure gets applied and turned up, I just don't know how they would react. Does that make sense?
Do you see them?
Or was I all over the place?
Yeah. No, I mean, do you see them getting put a whole lot of pressure on them? I mean, and this is the only reason why I think it's different. You know, if the White Sox go into the playoffs, they get to the, you know, they pass the division and then make it to the LCS and quite possibly make it to the World Series, there's definitely going to be a lot of buzz, you know, here. I don't know if everywhere else, you know, and that's not me knocking on White Sox. You know, this is me being realistic and knowing how the media works and how they completely overlook the White Sox, no matter what it is. And White Sox fans, yeah, you know, you can get mad and tweet me and yell at me, but I'm not saying anything that you don't know is true. And that's not a knock coming from a Cubs fan. This is coming from reality. And, I mean, let's be honest, I'm not a huge fan of it either. I think it's pretty lame that, you know, the major outlets can only focus on five teams. You know, and let's be honest, the Cubs really aren't one of them. The only reason, you know, they're always going to have that aura to them. But let's be honest, the reason they were so much behind their World Series stuff was because it was 100-plus years. If it wasn't that, then I don't know. I don't know that they would still have such a limelight with the national media. You know, and unfortunately the Sox being the second team and then, you know, having a crap owner and all that good stuff, I think puts them down a peg. But at the same token, the reason you and I do this is because we realize there's 30 teams. And while we may not be a fan of certain teams wholeheartedly, we're still going to talk about them. You know, we're still going to include them because isn't that the whole point of the game? You include, talk about everybody, you know? So, but, you know, kind of coming into this era right now with what's going on in baseball and the world in general, I think the pressure will be there. But I don't think it will be as intense as it would normally be because you won't have anybody in town. Or, well, they won't be here, obviously, but at the venues. You know, if Moncada or Eloy does something or, you know, Giolito, yeah, they're going to get their interviews and stuff, but a lot of it's going to be after the fact. You know, they'll actually get to walk off the field, those couple guys, go take the shower, take it easy, and then do a Zoom interview as opposed to being hounded while they're trying to put their underwear on, you know?
And, you know, while I did fail to mention, today's win actually clinches the White Sox a playoff spot. So they will be in. But,
wow,
then, you know, the other thing that, you know, kind of concerns me is, you know, the way the playoffs are set up right now, the White Sox will play the eighth seed, which just happens to be the Indians. You know, those inner division games are always a little more difficult. But I really think they could beat the Indians. You know, maybe it would be a three-game series because I'm sure Shane Bieber is going to get a start. You know, and I mean, he's just been dominant. But other than that, I think the White Sox could, you know, they could beat, not only beat him, but they could beat anybody else Cleveland's going to run out there. But, you know, Dan, then they get into the second round, and they're going to draw the winner of the Twins-Yankee series. So I just, you know, it almost seems like it's a little bit of bad luck on their part. Now, has baseball, do you know, because I haven't seen it, have you seen if baseball is going to reseed? You know, say like the Astros or the Jays win their series, are they reseeding or is this set in stone? Do you know?
No, I haven't seen that, but I would think it's set in stone. You know, baseball hasn't really – what they go with, they go with. So
yeah, you know, so it's a bad playoff draw for them, you know, getting a division rival to start and then drawing the Twins or the Yankees. In all honesty, I would probably rather play one of the other four playoff teams, be it the Rays, A's, Blue Jays, or Astros, then I would want to draw the Twins or the Yankees in the second round. In reality, I know the Yankees have had their trouble, but if they're healthy, they're a hell of an offense. You know, the Twins have already proven they can beat the White Sox. I think the series is 5-5 this year. So, you know, they've been able to play them even. You know, like I said, I think it's just a bad playoff draw. So that, you know, that may hurt them as much as anything else. You know, I mean, hopefully they'll, you know, I'm wrong. Hopefully they'll get rolling and, kind of run it out. But, you know, to be fair, the Dodgers, who are clearly the best team in baseball, they would be in a very similar situation. You know, they would draw the Giants in the first round. You know, and I know the Giants don't really have an elite starting pitcher like Shane Bieber. But, again, it's a divisional rivalry, and, you know, Giants-Dodgers is bigger than White Sox-Indians. Then in the second round, they would get the winner of the Padres-Marlins. You know, and obviously, you know, the Padres are up and coming. They're going to give anybody trouble. You know, and, you know, you're looking at, you know, Mike Clevenger, who they picked up at the deadline, and then, you know, Dinson Lamet has been pitching fantastic for them. He's been kind of a breakout star this year, but he plays on the West Coast, so nobody knows about him. I was smart enough to pick him in our money league, so Mr. Fantasy and I have been riding him most of the year. So, yeah, it just may be kind of, you know, almost bad luck, don't you think, that the teams are getting these draws?
Yeah, it's definitely not good luck.
So, but yeah, you know, and those are, you know, obviously some of the concerns I have. You know, I mean, you know, in reality, the Cubs actually have a pretty easy road. They get the Phillies, who just lost Jake Arrieta for the remainder of the year and is now questionable for the playoffs. And then they would get the winner of the Braves-Reds. And that's if the Reds get in and it's not the Cardinals. If it was the Cardinals, I would be a little more concerned because they kind of seem to have the Cubs' number. But, you know, I mean, you know, the Braves are so injured right now in their rotation, they're praying for Cole Hamels to help them out. So, you know, I'm not even sure if the Braves would be able to get by, be it the Reds or the Cardinals, with the situation they're in. So, you know, the Cubs may catch a good break and have this kind of, you know, easy road to the NLCS and then have to see if they can hold up against what could be a powerhouse Dodger team. But, you know, I guess we'll have to see how it all works out. You know, to be fair, the Cubs are still like 8 games away from clinching a playoff spot. So, they got a little work left to do.
Well, and that gives the White Sox fans something to brag about, right?
Yeah, they clinched the playoff spot first, you know. And you know, I mean, you know, like, you know, you and I aren't like, you know, I mean, like, we're both one game that the White Sox have had a good year, and, you know, they have what looks like a good team if they can continue to build on it. You know, I mean, we're you know, we're not really the, you know, the disappointing, hateful people that some of these fans are. But, you know, we did have another early game, Dan, and the Marlins dropped. Actually lost the game to the Red Sox. The Red Sox actually won a game. They beat them 5-3, and there are three more games going on right now. The Mariners are ahead of the Giants 4-1 in the top of the sixth. The Angels, Dan, look at that. The Angels have put up six on the Diamondbacks so far. They're up 6-1 in the top of the fifth. And then the Rays are ahead of the Orioles 1-0. They're just getting ready to go into the top of the fifth. So you're all caught up there, Dan, on what's going on. I know you're happy about that.
Thank you.
But yeah, I'm trying to think who else, you know, what else is there tonight going on? What look, you know, if I don't, oh yeah, well, Shane Bieber's actually pitching tonight, so you know, if you guys want to get a look at probably the American League Cy Young Award, almost guarantee. You know, he's got the Tigers tonight, and he's going up against Casey Mize, so that could be a fun pitching matchup to watch if you're interested in, you know, hunting that game down, you know, streaming somewhere, or maybe it's on the MLB Network. I don't know what games they're carrying today. So you could see that. But, yeah, other than that, I don't know if there's any huge pitching matchups. You know, Blake Snell is going, but that game's going on right now. Tanaka's pitching for the Yankees tonight, so. And you know, check all that stuff out somewhere down the road if you're interested. Oh, and then I don't know. Bye. Well, you were probably working, so you didn't see the White Sox game. You'll have to catch the highlight later because I didn't get the whole setup behind it. But I was catching some of the highlights, and Josh Donaldson hit the home run, and I think it actually was the home run that gave the Twins the lead. He comes around, and for whatever reason, he decides to kick dirt on home plate, and he gets ejected for it. And I think that's the first time I've ever seen a guy get ejected after rounding the bases from hitting a home run.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask you. You know, I did get the notification, so, you know, I have my iPad going all day watching whatever's going on. If I can, I just usually pop Sling TV on, a little shameless plug there. You know, catch up on my investigation discovery BS. But, I don't – because I get my updates from the Mothership and Major League Baseball, the app, and I did see that. And all I saw was Donaldson gets ejected after, you know, crossing plate on a go-ahead home run. So I don't understand that concept. I mean, what did he do that was so wrong? I mean, it's not like he was that football player who tried demonstrating
yeah.
how the offensive guy dug his helmet into him and then got ejected. Poor guy, dumb mistake, but yeah, it is what it is. So I mean, what is the negativity around that? I didn't even know that would happen.
Well, I just found a video here. I want to see if they're going to show the deal or no. They're okay. It's a borderline pitch that he doesn't like to call on the pitch before he hits the home run. So he swipes dirt over the plate and then he comes back and covers the plate up. So that was the whole thing was the. He didn't like to call the pitch before, you know, before he hit the home run. So there was a little discussion there about if then he hit the home run and decided to cover the plate up with dirt and he got himself tossed.
It's so silly.
So, yeah, so that was it. I mean, it doesn't seem like a – egregious offense, but then again, we don't know what was said. So,
yeah,
you know, we'll have to just kind of take the word for it.
I will say that's probably the best part about no fans in the stands. And I know, you know, like Fox does, I think, a better job than the other ones of piping in the sound and, you know, adding the fans and, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, I've watched some games where you even hear the announcers like, ooh, I hope that doesn't get us in trouble.
So, yeah, that is funny. And, you know, here, Dana, I found that Josh Donaldson video on the Mickey Mouse website if you want to go look for it. They also have a video here about the World Series matchup they want to see the most, and they want Padres White Sox. So there you go.
That's interesting. Are they on the young bandwagon or something?
Yeah, you know, it looks like, you know, they're pushing. The two pictures they used to start off are Fernando Tatis and Jose Abreu. But then I'm sure they're going to add in, you know, the Luis Roberts and the Eloy Jimenezes and, you know, Manny Machado and those kind of things. But, yeah, I think what they're hoping for is Tatis wins the NL MVP and Abreu wins the AL MVP, and then they match him up in the World Series.
Well, I mean, if it's the mothership, do you think that's hard for them to campaign for since they've fired so many people? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
considering
their focus is really basketball, you know, I'm guessing this was probably just one of the, you know, one of the interns who put it together or something, so they could,
two guys left.
You know, yeah, I'm sure there's, you know, I'm sure there's somebody there, but yeah, you know, there was like no article with it. It was just a video. There's no story with it or anything. It's just, you know, hey, here's the World Series matchup we'd like to see. So, you know, just kind of one of those things. But yeah, you know, we'll, you know, who knows? You know, and I mean, you know, obviously that would be a fun matchup to see. I still can't figure out how anybody gets past the Dodgers, but hey, you never know, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, stranger things have happened. You know, and we'll just kind of have to, have to see how it works out or how it goes along here. So, yeah, let me see if the video will play for me, and I can tell you if there's anything. It looks like they did the round table with Tim Kirchen, who still works there, and Eduardo Perez, who still has a baseball job at the Mickey Mouse Network. But they're probably about the last two guys left, aren't they?
Yeah.
So, you know, and then all the other guys kind of end up on the MLB Network after that happens. So, you know, I found the corresponding article, Dan. It's in a different spot. It is written by David Schoenfield, who apparently is a senior writer for them. And he goes in. Now, here you go, Dan. These are the matchups that they don't want to see. All right. Obviously, there's a few more of them. We got Indians, Braves, A's, Giants, Yankees, Cardinals, Twins, Phillies, Yankees, Phillies, Twin Braves, Jays, Phillies, Twins, Brewers. That's if the Brewers find a way to get in. And then A's, Phillies. For some reason, they also don't want to see Astros, Dodgers, which I thought would be – that could be kind of a fun rematch if that happened. Okay, they have this as intriguing intrastate showdown. Dan, would you be – as even as big a baseball fan as you are, Would you be intrigued by a Rays Marlins World Series?
not totally, but you know, I still watch it. You know, at this point, you know what I think makes it different though too is, you know, it's, you know, and it sounds silly, but when I've watched handful of minutes of the NBA playoffs, you know, it just, there's something, it just overly reminds me of the G League. You know, there's no fans, you know, the camera setups are different, everything's so different about it to where it takes that big time feel out of it, where, you know, the fortunate thing with baseball is you know the cameras, everything's still positioned the same, but it is different without the fans. And I think when you take all the teams and you're putting them in Texas, you know, at the end of the day for the World Series, you know, I don't know if it really takes away from anything or even adds anything. And, you know, while it may not be the series I want to see totally, it's still watchable, I guess you could say.
Yeah, and now here I found, here's their top five matchups that they want to see. It starts with White Sox Braves. Then they want Indians Padres at 4. Rays Dodgers is 3. A's Dodgers is number 2. And then White Sox Padres is number 1. So that's what they have for their top five. They don't want to see the Cubs.
Now, well, you know, I don't think it's a matter of not wanting to see the Cubs. I just think I don't think anyone's given up on them. I just don't. I think from the way they've been playing lately and the troubles they've had, even though they're still in first place, this is what's discounting a lot of people. But, you know, and then the flip side of it, you know, like you mentioned, the White Sox and Padres, you know, the kind of the thing they're looking at, and I think this is becoming like a bigger trend in sports, is they're looking for the kids. You know, it wasn't a veteran team of Cub players that won a World Series. You know, if you kind of, you know, and I guess my best example I could think of is oddly the 05 White Sox World Series champions. You know, they were put together, but my memory is, you know, I don't remember totally, but you didn't have a whole lot of youth. You know, everyone was kind of established and brought in. So, you know, that was, I don't know when the change happened and we started, you know, trying to get younger. But you remember even in, what was it, 2010 when Starling, was it 2010 when Starling Castro came into the league and was one of the youngest players to do a bunch of stuff, blah, blah, blah. And it just seemed like from that point when they started getting into promoting and, you know, trying to sell us on watching the baseball draft and trying to get these kids up quicker, the field system, where you draft a guy and, well, he's not even ready, but, you know, the hell with it, let's put him in the majors, Ian Happ. You know, you got to wonder if that trend is kind of coming where they're looking for the kids to play. And maybe now the Cubs are just too old because they're all 25 and older.
I am beginning to wonder about Ian Happ. You know, I just saw him doing one of those hair commercials for – you know, the hair transplant surgery. I didn't realize
was
old enough to need that. Yeah. So.
Well, you know, I haven't seen it, but, you know, not to get all political, whatever, but, you know, I haven't driven up north, so I don't know if they've changed the billboards, but I know Brian Urlacher's comments about some social, you know,
gonna guess he's out there, huh? They could bring Ryan Sandberg back.
Yeah, but you know, and the thing is too, I believe that Urlacher has mixed children, so I could be wrong on that.
Yeah. No, he does. You're correct. So, he has at least one. I don't know about many more, but I know for sure he does have one. But, and I know why you said you didn't want to get political, Dan. Unfortunately, I have to discuss this with you. On Sunday, for the NFL, they've been allowing players to do different things. And the Pittsburgh Steelers put the name of Antoine Rose Jr. on their helmets for the 2020 season. This Rose Jr. happened to be a shooting victim. He was unarmed and he was shot by a Pittsburgh police officer. So, the team was putting his name on it. Now, when it came to the time, Pittsburgh offensive lineman Al Villanueva, and if you don't remember the name, he's the Steeler who, he's a former Army Ranger and he did three tours in Afghanistan. He decided to change the name, and he put Alwin Cash, or maybe Cache, because it's C-A-S-H-E, on his helmet. Now, Cash was an Army first sergeant who was killed in Iraq, and posthumously given the Silver Star Award. He was also black. But apparently, Villanueva, I know he's taken some heat about this on social media from some people. Now other Steelers have came out and said they would like to do the same thing and pick their own name. So we'll see how this goes. But I don't really think he did anything wrong here, did you? He's still celebrating a black individual who was killed. This one just happened to be killed serving his country.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing, unfortunately, with 2020 is you become villainized if you don't – by having your own mind. And that's kind of the funny thing about the way things are going is the whole BLM movement, and I'm not going to knock it. I think there's some good in there, but, the rioting, the looting – I don't think properly represents them. But that's the thing. They're allowed to properly, express what they want. But yeah, if you don't even totally agree, then, and you're not of color, you're considered a racist. And, take the last name Villanueva, and that's not a white last name, however you want to put it. And, the other part of it is, I see so much stuff on social media where you're watching people argue and yell at people, and I'm like, hey, you can't even spell. No offense, but I'm sure that's part of the reason he's getting slack, because people don't look into it. People just see, oh, well, he did something against what everyone else is doing, so he's a bad guy. Kind of like the one group we're in. I didn't even know you were in it. With the Army Ranger guy who was all mad and complaining about and it's like, I don't really care. If you don't want to watch it, don't watch it. My father-in-law was one of those, I'm not going to watch football because they're kneeling. So he was at our house a couple of years ago, and what did I do? I put the Bears game on. my wife's like, I thought my dad wasn't watching football. I'm like, well, he wasn't going to say anything that,
Yeah.
I'm like, the Cubs weren't on, so the Bears were on. And I even made the smart-ass comment, like, hey, you realize the Bears all came out. They didn't kneel, So, it is what it is. So that's the one thing I think is just unfortunate. And going back to that post, that Army Ranger guy was all mad about it, and it was a Minnesota Vikings group. And, it's funny that what I commented, the only reaction I got was from you. Nobody touched it because I spoke the freaking truth. And again, you and I, whether we agree with it or not, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if we agree with it or not. They're going to do it, and that's the end of it. And I put in there, hey, remember when Jesse Ventura, former Minnesota governor, former Navy SEAL,
yeah,
came out and you know, he approved, or I don't know how to say approved, but, you know, was backing Colin Kaepernick's right to do the protest. And his reasoning was because that is why I fought for this country, so we could have this right. So, I mean, if you don't want to see it, here's an idea. Turn the TV off until after the kickoff. I mean, you know, let's be honest. If you're a diehard football fan, you've been watching for the last 20 years, especially in this last 10 years, especially since Devin Hester's game, you know, ended. We don't really see too many kickoff returns anymore, touchdown returns. So, I mean, you're not going to miss a whole lot. So, I'm sorry if you don't agree with it, then just don't watch it. I don't see why your opinion is the only one that matters. You know. And that's going for both sides. It's like only your opinion matters. Are you that egotistical?
So, yeah, I think that's part of my biggest issue with this is just the fact that, you know, he still celebrated, you know, a black American.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can't say that guy, you know, wasn't a hero for serving his country. And unfortunately, you know, he ended up giving his life for this country, you know, which many kids do. You know, I mean, if he would have went completely the other way and putting something, you know, incredibly racist on there or something, well, then, yeah, I could understand, you know, this type of reaction, but... Yeah, you know, I mean, I totally agree with your point where it's like you can't even state your opinion anymore if it's not with the majority of, like, the Black Lives Matter movement, or else you're in trouble for it. And it's one of these things where you have to have, you know, well, even if you don't want to, you're going to have people on both sides no matter which way you look at it. And, you know, again, that's part of this country. You have, you know, they have to be allowed to have their opinion. You know, and in this case, it's just like, this is stupid. You know, I mean, some of the stuff that we've been fighting over in 2020, it is just ridiculous. So, you know, I hope he continues to do it, and I'm glad to see some of the other Steelers getting on board, you know, talking about choosing their own name. So, you know, we'll have to see, but, you know, I just thought it was kind of BS that they went after this guy who, of course, you know, served the country as well. So.
Yeah. Well, and that's today, you know, and you're right. There's everything that's being fought over is super stupid half the time. And, you know, the biggest issue is, you know, it comes down to COVID. You know, it's been around for a long time, and it's never seemed to have been an issue up until this year. And I'm sorry if you're as naive to think that this version of it that's affected all of us isn't man-made, then that's fine. You know, you call me a conspiracy theorist, tell me my foil hat is on, but you can't tell me it's not man-made when they put out a report that Chicago magically had their own version. I'm sorry, but if Darwin taught us anything, use Google, do something else, not Wikipedia, but if Darwin taught us anything, survival of the fittest, but not only that, that it takes time for things to mutate. It doesn't just happen overnight. You know, if you go with the evolution theory, you know, we originated from apes or gorillas or however you want to put it. You know, it wasn't like 1900 we were apes, and then 1905 we were humans. You know what I mean? Like, the process takes a long time. Mutations take a long time to happen. You don't need to be a scientist or rocket scientist or any of that to understand that things don't happen with the snap of a finger. You know, if you go back onto your Clorox bottles and Lysol bottles prior to this year, they have on there protects against COVID, you know, disinfects against COVID. So,
yeah.
It's not something new.
Yeah,
you're right, coronavirus. So, I mean, this is nothing is new, but yet, you know, this disease that was man-made and infected upon all of us, you know, thrown upon all of us, biological warfare. I don't know who the war is against, but, you know, you think about it, what ended up happening? How many people lost their jobs? And that's what happens. I mean, you look at all the protests and everything, not so much the protests, but the rioting, the looting, the vandalism, all of that. What do you see? You see a bunch of kids. What are all these kids doing?
Yeah.
They're not working. They're not in school. You're taking a bunch of people who have been frustrated because they're not working. They don't have money to do all the things, you know, the things they want to do. And then you start jamming all this racial inequality. You start jamming, you know, shoving down our throats all this negativity. And what does it do? It fires up people, and especially young people who haven't experienced enough and don't know any different. You know, and it's, I'm not saying it's wrong, but at the same time, they're not thinking mentally. They're thinking with their emotions. And, you know, someone once said that the thing that separates humans from animals is our ability to love. But I'm sorry, I've seen birds. I've seen my dogs. They have the capability of love. What separates humans from animals is our ability to reason and talk. You know, I had a niece who's mixed, coming out, calling out all her white family members because they didn't post something immediately about racial inequality. And it's like, oh, then block me. I'm like, you know, see, that's such an immature statement. You're showing your lack of maturity. And if this is something you want out there, you need to spark these conversations up with people. You don't sit there and yell. And, you know, if you've seen anything with a lot of these protesters, you know, going against especially Republicans, they're not, you know, they're hiding behind masks, full on, you know, ski masks. They're insulting, they're yelling, and they're trying to, oh, I'm just trying to get them to talk. No, you're insulting them. You're violating them, and you expect them to respond positively to you? No, it doesn't work that way. That's why you need to be in school. Learn.
Yeah. So, all right, well, I didn't want to, unfortunately, get us down that path, so I'm going to switch us up and try to get us back to something similarly to sports here. You know, there is an NBA playoff game tonight, Dan. We have the Heat technically at the Celtics, 6 o'clock on the Mickey Mouse Network if you want to go watch it. What I find kind of funny about this, Dan, is this is game two of the Eastern Conference Finals. The Western Conference Finals have yet to kick off. They don't start till tomorrow. Now, if you remember, Dan, LeBron James complained about the Lakers start times and the scheduling in the NBA. By the time the Lakers take the court tomorrow, they will have had 6 days off. They haven't played since last Saturday. Can they cater to this guy a little more? You know, I mean, this is ridiculous. You know, after he complained about their games being late, they got a 6 o'clock game. He complained about the scheduling, and now he's had a week off. Really? And you no, but the league's not fixed, guys. The NBA's not fixed. Well, don't believe anything I say about that. You know, I mean, it's, you know, they tailor made it for him to walk into the finals now.
Well, and, you know, and this LeBron, you know, I mean, has this been his attitude since he was, you know, 13 years old? I don't think so.
No, you know, I don't think he got really bad until he started winning, you know, because you have to win to be like this.
Yeah, but I don't even think it's just the winning. He was molded into that. You know, I mean, you think about it. They only promote one guy in the NBA, and that's LeBron James. I mean, go back to the Warriors Cleveland series. I mean, everything was, can LeBron James take on, you know, Steph Curry, Thompson, Clay, and, you know, Draymond? You know, it was LeBron against the Warriors, not the Cavaliers against the Warriors, LeBron. And, you know, I mean, like you said, they've catered to him for so long. I mean, I think he's just so used to it that, you know, why not, right?
Yeah. Well, that's like I was laughing. I saw an article yesterday from Dwight Howard, who's basically a shell of him for his former self and just sits on the Lakers bench and collects checks and probably will end up getting a ring for this. And apparently he was complaining how life was so difficult in the NBA bubble. You know, Dan, and I'm just kind of baffled by it, Dan, because wouldn't everybody like to stay in one place and get your every need catered to?
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't quite really understand what was so difficult about it, you know, but I've come to the point now where, you know, Dwight Howard went straight out of high school into the NBA. So did LeBron. They are so out of touch with, you know, what people, you know, what regular people go through, you know, getting up, going to work every day, you know, hoping you got enough money to pay your bills or feed your kids or, you know, whatever else is going on, that, you know, when they come off like this, you know, as they try to be sincere and they try to do their community reach out or whatever they get, you know that none of that is real. You know, they don't care about any of that stuff. They're just worried about where their next $1 million check is going and, you know, where they're going to put it away. And it makes it really difficult to root for these guys when they say stupid stuff like this. You know, it just kind of gets on my, you know, kind of gets on my nerves. I mean, you know, LeBron James is a basketball player. You play basketball. You know what time your games are scheduled. Set your schedule up to adjust. I work overnight. I set my schedule up to get up so I can stay up every night. Dan works closer to 9 to 5. He sets his schedule up so he can be awake at those times to do his job. That's what people do. You know, Dan doesn't get a week off in between days of work. Neither does his wife. Not too many people do. But LeBron James does because he complains about it. You know, and it just, like I said, Dan, it makes it so difficult to root for him. And he's a great player. You know, I mean, he'll probably go down as the second greatest player in the NBA behind Michael Jordan. But, you know, the things he says and the way he acts just makes him come off as such an ass that I just can't root for this guy. And, you know, obviously I'm not the only one, right? There's other people out there who can't root for him either, not just because he's a Laker, but because of the way he acts.
Yeah, well, you know, we talked about that before. You know, I'm actually wearing my my Dwayne Wade T-shirt right now and a Miami Heat hat. Besides the point, just coincidence. You remember, I was all over that bandwagon. And then he got the cramp.
Yeah. You know, and I did find it kind of odd that, you know, when that sheriff reached out to him and asked him for reward money for the two police officers who were shot by a black guy sitting in their car, and I don't think LeBron has responded, but I found it odd that it was the sheriff who got heat for doing that, but if it would have been the opposite way around, nobody would have said a word about it. You know, and LeBron is supposed to be a law enforcement supporter, so that's why he reached out to him. You know, but, he hasn't made a statement. Why aren't we making statements about stuff like this? Because it doesn't coincide with what's going on right now?
Well, can you imagine if he made a statement? And from what I understand, that sheriff's getting a lot of heat, more so from Kobe's wife. Because of the botched investigation.
She was the one who started it. You know, she was the one who jumped on him first, but I think people have been piling on. And it, you know, Dan, it's time for us to go. Let's go to the call here. I do think, like I said, that Dan Long is taking off. Now, as you know, Dan is not going to try to number 2 and 1. So we won't talk till Dan until Monday, but while we're all away, WorkCommunity.com, I still have a blog that went up yesterday. Over to the Facebook page and give it a like. Twitter feed sources at Sports Time Radio. You and I are looking at there on Twitter. So if you can look up something, I'll do it with you. Bye. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. We're going to miss out. Two stacks is your way to go. Get over there with them anytime you want.